Chapter 60. True to his word, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs had General McKay's personal Air Force C-20 passenger jet sitting beside the runway that stretched across Wake Island as Pitt dropped the tilt turbine on a marked pad in front of the small terminal building. Mel Penner had flown up from Palau and was waiting, cupping his ears against the scream of the turbines as the wheels touched the concrete. The area was surrounded and cordoned off by nearly 20 air police. Penner moved toward the aircraft and stood expectantly at the doorway. It swung open, and Weatherhill was the first out. Penner stepped forward, and they shook hands. "Glad to see you're still in the land of the living."
"That makes two of us," said Weatherhill with a huge smile.
He glanced around at the Air Force security ring.
"We didn't expect a welcoming committee.
You're the hottest topic of discussion at the White House. Is it true you made it out with Suma?" Weatherhill nodded.
"And Diaz and Smith."
"You made quite a haul." Stacy stepped down and was also surprised to see Penner and the guards. "Somehow I get the feeling we're not going to refuel and continue to Hawaii," she said, hugging Penner.
"Sorry, no. There's an Air Force jet waiting to fly Suma and the legislators to Washington. They'll be accompanied and guarded by a military intelligence team. The rest of us have been ordered to remain here on Wake for a meeting with a group of high-level hotshots sent by Jordan and the President."
"I'm sorry we couldn't have sent you more data," explained Weatherhill, "but we thought it best if we stayed off the airwaves and made out a report in person."
"Jordan agrees. You made the right decision."
Weatherhill handed Penner a file folder filled with neatly typed sheets.
"A full report."
Penner stared at the report with a blank look.
"How?"
Weatherhill gestured back inside the aircraft.
"Suma had it, fully equipped to conduct business. We wrote it up during the flight on a word processor."
Mancuso popped his head out the door.
"Hi, Mel. Did you bring the party hats and champagne?"
"Good to see you, Frank. When can I meet your passengers?"
"Sending them out now. You'll have to wait a minute for our guests from Japan to disembark until I free them."
"You had them under restraint?"
"They got a little testy at times."
Lauren and Diaz stepped squinting into the bright sun and were introduced to Penner, who related the flight procedure. Then Suma and Toshie were ushered out by Mancuso, his hands tightly gripping each by an arm.
Penner made a slight bow. "Welcome to United States territory, Mr. Suma, but I don't think you're going to enjoy your stay." Suma gave Penner the offhand glance he reserved for underlings and acted as if the intelligence operative was invisible. Toshie looked at Penner with uncontrolled hatred. "You will treat Mr. Suma with proper respect. He demands he be freed immediately and returned to Japan." "Oh, he will," Penner said mockingly, "after he's enjoyed an all-expense-paid vacation in our nation's capital, courtesy of the American taxpayer." "You are violating international law," Suma said nastily, "and if you do not release us, vengeance shall be swift and many of your countrymen will die." Penner turned to Weatherhill. "Can he back up the threat?" Weatherhill looked at Suma. "Sorry, you can forget about the Dragon Center. Its juice has been cut off." "You were successful?" asked Penner. "Ray Jordan and Don Kern are clawing the walls, waiting to hear." "A temporary fix. We only had enough explosive to blow out a fiber-optic bundle. They should be back in business in several days." Dr. Josh Nogami exited the plane and was greeted by Penner. "A real pleasure to meet you, Doc. We're grateful for your efforts in getting information out to us. Your help was invaluable." Nogami shrugged modestly. "I'm sorry I couldn't have saved Jim Hanamura." "You might have given yourself away and been murdered, too." "Mr. Pitt did his best to prevent that." Nogami glanced around, but saw no familiar faces. "It looks as though I'm an agent without an assignment. When our deputy director of operations, Don Kern, learned you were on board, he requested that you be temporarily assigned to us. Your superior agreed. If you don't mind working with a bunch of colonials for a few days, your knowledge of the Dragon Center's layout would be very helpful." Nogami nodded. "The weather here beats rainy London any day." Before Penner could reply, Giordino leaped from the tilt turbine and ran toward a squad of air police that were herding Suma and Toshie to the waiting C-20. He rushed over to the officer in charge and asked him to hold up the procession for a moment. Giordino was only half a centimeter taller than Toshie. He looked straight into her eyes. "Dear heart, wait for me." She stared at him in angered surprise. "What are you talking about?" "Courtship, amorous pursuit. Nestling, endearment, proposal. As soon as I can catch up to you, I'm going to make you the happiest woman alive." "You're mad." "Only one of my many charms," said Giordino engagingly. "You'll discover lots of others in the years to come." Amazingly, Toshie wavered. For a strange reason she couldn't comprehend, she began to find Giordino's very un-Japanese approach appealing. She had to struggle to suppress any friendliness she felt toward him. Giordino recognized her uncertainty and grasped her slender shoulders in his beefy hands, kissed her briefly on the lips, and smiled. "I'll catch up to you as soon as I can." She was still staring at him wordlessly over her shoulder as Penner took her by the elbow and brusquely led her away. Pitt escorted Lauren to the C-20 jet after Suma, Toshie, and Diaz were seated aboard. They walked in silence, feeling the warmth from the sun and the humidity stroke their skin. Lauren stopped several meters from the aircraft and stared into Pitt's eyes. "Seems one of us is always coming and going." He nodded. "We lead busy, separate lives. Our schedules never mesh." "Maybe someday." Her voice died softly. "Someday," he said in understanding. "You're not going back?" she asked hesitantly. He shrugged. "I don't know. Al and I have been ordered to remain behind." "They can't send you back to that island. Not now. I'm a marine engineer, remember? I'm the last man they'd ask to assault the Dragon Center with six shooters blazing." "I'll talk to the president and request you and Al be sent home." "Don't put yourself out," he said easily. "We'll probably be on the next flight east." She stood on her toes and kissed him gently on the mouth. "Thank you for everything." Pitt smiled. "Anything to please a pretty lady." Tears began forming in her eyes. Lauren had a feeling of dread in her stomach. Somehow she knew he wouldn't be following her anytime soon. Suddenly, she turned and hurried up the boarding stairs into the aircraft. Pitt stood there looking after her. Then he waved as her face appeared in a window, but when Lauren looked for him again as the plane taxied to the runway, he was gone.